Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to today's edition of Evangelize for Life with Stephen Glover, evangelist, church planter, and missionary. Stephen is the former National Evangelism Missionary for the North American Mission Board, a former church planter, who holds a master's degree in church planting and evangelism from Liberty University. Stephen has served as a domestic missionary for over 12 years, and evangelism is something he does every day. Now here's your host, Stephen Glover.
Thank you, and welcome to Evangelize for Life. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
So welcome. So glad that you're able to join us again today for another episode of Evangelize for Life. Today we're going to look at how to prepare for a outreach or a witnessing encounter. This could be personal, or it could also be with a group of churches, or a, as we talked about before, that we're talking about not just the individual, but we're talking about mass. So before we start today, let's begin with the word of prayer. Father, we just thank you today for the word of God. Thank you for the Great Commission. Thank you for your instruction that's given to us in your word that teaches us and tells us, Lord, not only how to seek and save the lost, but also the importance of it and how to prepare. And pray that, Lord, you'll be with me today as we examine that, and I pray, God, you would encourage others to take this information and to use it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, let's begin today as we reflected on previously or some other episodes of Evangelize for Life. We talked about the importance of an understanding that we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against powers and against principalities, and as the Bible teaches us, against spiritual wickedness and rulers in high places, and also darkness and spiritual forces. So one of the things that you have to do before you prepare to do an outreach is that you have to prepare not only physically, but spiritually, emotionally, and that takes time. Because when you look throughout Scripture, you see that even in the book of Daniel, chapter 10, where Daniel had prayed and prayer was hindered, because Scripture talks about how Michael or Gabriel was sent with the message for Daniel's prayer, but there was a hindrance, there was spiritual warfare that was taking place, and David was told that Prince of Persia was hindering that particular angel from arriving. So he had to get help, and we know it wasn't Jesus because Jesus has all power over demons, and we've talked about that before. So therefore, it had to be the Gabriel or Michael that was involved in that spiritual warfare. But one of the weapons that we find in the book of Ephesians is not just the whole armor of God, because those are defensive weapons. When we talk about defensive weapons, we're talking about the breastplate of righteousness or the loins of truth, feet shod with the gospel, peace, the shield of faith, helmet of salvation. Those are defensive weapons, something that you put on to protect yourself from the attacks of the enemy. But I'd like to look at not only the word of God, but also with all prayer and petition, Paul says, pray with all times in the Spirit. And I think that's crucial as far as doing an outreach before anyone even hits the streets, even before a plan of attack is formulated. It's important that people spend time on their knees praying because, again, we have mentioned where I mentioned that there is a spiritual war, and so there is a war for the souls of men. And when you think about military, our military, before we attacked Iran, and this was the Gulf War, not Iran, but Iraq, the first war, Gulf War, we know that there was a lot of bombing, a lot of shelling that took place before the ground troops moved in with their artillery. And I think when you look in Scripture, that is the war takes place in the heavens, and so we can win the battle on the ground by making sure we spend time in prayer. And as we saw in Gulf War, that the war was won pretty much from the air. And so the same applies in the spiritual war that takes place. So I'm going to do something I have not done before. As mentioned in the introduction, I serve with the North American Mission Board, and one of the things that we would do for our training, that we would take churches through what is called an intentional community evangelism booklet. And it has a multitude of chapters that deal with how to reach the community. And so it takes a step-by-step look at, you know, some of the things that we need to do before you begin reaching the community. So I wanted to kind of highlight the importance of prayer, because laying a foundation for prayer is crucial, because we're dealing again with hardened hearts, we're dealing again with demonic resistance, and so it's important that beginning with a personal prayer life, that everyone who is involved in physical outreach should spend time in prayer. That could include confessing sin, because there are times that you look in Scripture, the Bible says that we grieve the Holy Spirit and we quench His work in our lives, and so it's important that we spend time in prayer so that we'll be sensitive to the Spirit as He speaks, and as we speak, He speaks through us. And so, you know, it's important that that you spend time in prayer, because the power really in evangelism comes from praying. It comes from spending time with God, spending time even in group prayer time, praying with other church members, because even the part that is developed for evangelism in the church is done when people are praying for laborers. Jesus told us to pray to the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers. And so not only do you pray to God personally, that, you know, your heart be cleansed before Him so that you have confidence, you know, when sharing the gospel. The Bible says if our hearts do not condemn us, we can have confidence towards God. And not only that, but also if they're praying together with others, pray that there will be more laborers to go into the mission field. We know from John chapter 4 that let me turn here real quick, that there are people who right now that are sowing the gospel in the hearts of men and women. As John writes, he said, already he who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for life eternal. This is in verse 36, that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this case, the saying is true, one who sows and another one reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. So there are people who are sowing now. There are opportunities to add to that opportunity or to that particular witness by you sharing the gospel with that person. And so as Scripture says, one man plants, another man waters, but God gives the increase. So, but anyway, based on this verse, John chapter 4, that both the person who sows or the person who reaps, they both reap the reward for that particular person coming to faith in Christ. So the issue, again, is that there must be more laborers. The more people that are sowing, the more seeds are being planted, and that just increases the opportunity for people to be saved and a vast number of people being saved. because there are more people scattering the seed. So not only are we talking about praying personally, but praying as individuals, and then praying as a group, but also praying for the lost. And we talked about before how the Holy Spirit works in the believer, how the Word of God, the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to bring light to the darkness, but also how the Holy Spirit opens the blind eyes of those that are lost. We talked about it once again in a previous episode, how people who are in darkness, they're in darkness because Satan has blinded their eyes. And so not only did Satan blind their eyes, but the Bible tells us that they are dead. They are enslaved. They are condemned. They are perishing. They are hopeless. They are enemies of God. And if you go back to Ephesians chapter 2, and this applies to every single one of us, that Ephesians tells us in chapter 2, verse 1, and you were dead in your trespasses and sin. So when a person is born into the world, we are born dead to God. And so you wonder why it's so difficult, or why the scripture says, there's no man seeketh after God, because we are dead to God. We are stillborn, and we must be made alive. And in that same chapter, the Bible says that God being rich in his mercy because of his great love, which he loved us, says even when you were dead in your trespasses, transgressions, made us alive with Christ. By grace you have been saved. So when a person comes to faith in Jesus Christ, they go from the position of being dead in their transgressions and sins, being dead to God, but then being made alive to God, meaning that you have access to God, you can fellowship with God, you now seek God, you now desire God. Before we were like sheep who had gone astray, we had turned and we had gone our own way, but now that the Father, through the Holy Spirit, drew us back to himself, we now have a fellowship where we can come boldly to the throne room of grace, so we'll receive mercy and grace in our time of need, or as the Bible says, we can come with confidence. So that is one of the reasons why we must pray for lost people. Because as we pray for lost people, knowing that they were dead, knowing that Satan has come to steal and kill and to destroy them, knowing that, the Bible talks about no man seeketh after God. So there must be a heart change. There must be a change of heart, change of mind that comes through the power of prayer. So as you're praying, the power of demonic spirits are broken. As you're praying, God the Heavenly Father will draw the lost to himself, because the Bible says that no man comes to the Father unless he draws them. In a book or a evangelism outreach called Set the Captives Free, written by David Hopewell, who was part of the People Group Interfaith evangelism team at the North American Mission Board, outlines this in his particular book, where he says that the Holy Spirit has to convict the person of sin. This is in John chapter 16, verse 8. So no man will ever come to know Christ unless there is conviction about their sin. So a person must be broken, convicted. And in the outreach we had yesterday, I had an opportunity to share the gospel a multitude of times. And just explaining to a woman who was willing to sit and listen, who obviously had been using drugs, and I'm not sure if it was marijuana because of the purple lips, or because if it was crack or some kind of heavy cocaine because of the dryness and the whiteness around the lips. But her willingness in using the Word of God, and we had talked about in one of the previous episodes about demonic activity and how demons hinder people from hearing and believing. But that was the importance of sharing the Word and having to read the Word, because they're in subjection. These demons, Satan, are in subjection to the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, which is Christ. And so as we were reading the conviction that was taking place over immorality, over drug use, did occur to the point where the person wanted to know about being saved and how they could go about being saved. And so taking the time to go through some verses and emphasizing calling on the name of the Lord, repenting, dying to self, and et cetera. And so I don't know, we'll find out soon, if that person's heart was receptive. Because a lost person's heart, it needs to be broken. So they must be broken over their sin. And also they must understand they need a Savior. There won't be any salvation to the point where the person understands that they're wretched, that they're destitute, that they deserve God's judgment. They deserve God's wrath because of God's goodness, because of His grace. He has not poured out His wrath on any of us, which we deserve because of our wretched wickedness. Jeremiah says our hearts are desperately wicked. Who could know it? So He should, but He is long-suffering. He is patient. He is forbearing His wrath so that we might come to repentance. And so I think about that young lady that, you know, she breathed another breath because God allowed her to, so that she could hear the gospel. And if she rejects the gospel, if she was only there to manipulate or to pretend, well, you know, the blood, as Ezekiel said, is upon her head. And that's something that I guess we'll probably cover this in a couple of days, but that's something that, as you're sharing the gospel, understand, guys, is that it's the work of God that draws a person to Himself. Our responsibility, according to Ezekiel chapter 32 or 33, says, "When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not seek to warn the wicked man from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require from your hand. But if you, on your part, warn a wicked man to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he will die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your life." So, hey, your responsibility regarding sharing the gospel, you did that. Therefore, it's not your, the Bible says you've been liberated, you've been free. You have done exactly, obeyed God's word, because even though God says that He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they would turn from His way and they would turn back from their evil ways, but He still, because of His holiness, has to judge the ungodliness of man. He has to judge the transgressions, the iniquities, the sinfulness of man. But He has given that individual an opportunity to be set free. And I often think about where Jesus sent His disciples out, and He told them that if you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they have been retained. What does He mean by that? That as the disciples and the apostles went out and preached the gospel, much like we see in Ezekiel, that their responsibility was fulfilled. So now it depends on the other individual to receive the forgiveness that God extends. So if that person rejects the gospel, if they choose not to believe the gospel, if they choose to turn away from the gospel and harden their hearts against it, then they remain in their sin. But as you preach the gospel, as you share the good news, that person has an opportunity to be liberated, to be set free, to be forgiven of their transgressions and sins, simply because you were willing to share the gospel. So getting back to our prayer, one of the things that we must do too, and I mentioned earlier, is praying over the atmosphere. Because our warfare is not against flesh and blood. It's not against flesh and blood, guys. I try to maintain that mindset when dealing with people one-on-one who reject you, who despise you, who mock you, who make fun of you. Just remember, it's not against flesh and blood. Again, we're dealing with demonic forces and hindering spirits. So if you would like to join me in conversation today, call 646 800-220-4203. Love to have you join me and to discuss the beginning discussion of how to deal with and how to prepare for an evangelism outreach. So we've talked about individual prayer, corporate prayer. Now we're also going to talk about, we prayed for the lost, talked about praying for the lost and why it's so important. But also many forget that we are to pray over the atmosphere because our prayers are so crucial. Paul prayed for boldness because as we pray, we kind of ask God to restrain, restrain the hindering spirits, the demonic spirits, the spirits that blind people's eyes, that keep them from coming to the knowledge of the truth. We pray over the atmosphere because you'll find that as you're sharing the gospel, all kinds of distractions will happen. Phones will ring, babies will cry, people will interrupt. So it's important that even while witnessing, you're praying in your heart that a person will hear and that the distractions would be limited. And I experienced that yesterday as I was witnessing. There was a woman that kept coming and talking. There were two people who said they were believers that were listening, but one woman kept interjecting, not to the point where she was disturbing, but just commenting, but she also had an opportunity to hear the gospel too. So it's important that that we pray over the atmosphere, because again, Satan has blinded the lost. He desires to destroy them. So prayer, even accompanied by fasting. Don't forget that Jesus rebuked his disciples because of their inability to cast out a demon out of a young boy because he said that they were astonished as to why they were unable. And he said that this particular demon came out by prayer and fasting. Another way of praying, and this is something that I taught, is prayer walking. This is a great opportunity to get some of the elderly, some of the not naive, but those that are not as bold, those that are less confident, to help them to get involved in engaging the community. Because you think about it, that many people may be a little shy or coy or are unable or not sure what to expect when they're out in the community, when you begin to do outreaches and street evangelism. So this helps them to get introduced to the community, and as they begin to pray, they begin to intercede, they'll have a better understanding as to what's going on out there. And at times you're able to engage those that the area that you're going to be evangelizing, you're able to attach a name to a face, or you're able to pray for an individual right there on the spot. And I encourage those that are doing evangelism, those who are practicing prayer walking, that you pray for a person right then and there. Most people, majority of people, not all, but the majority, do not have a problem with you praying for them because we all have tribulations. I believe that Job wrote in Job, the book of Job, and I think it was, chapter 14, where Job tells us that a man is born of a woman, and there are many, many tribulations. And that is one of the reasons why people don't mind you praying for them, because I guarantee you that they're either in a storm or they're going through a storm or they had just come out of it. And then Job chapter 14, it says, a man is born of a woman, his time was short-lived and full of turmoil. So we know that there's going to be plenty of trouble. There's going to be plenty of difficulties. There's going to be a lot of struggle in this life, and I believe that is one of the reasons why people do not mind or have a problem with you praying for them. Okay, so these are some of the areas, the prayer walking, praying over the atmosphere, praying for the lost, church members praying together, and also, praying individually. These are all components, parts of prayer that is necessary, guys. that if you're going to do any outreach and you're going to have any impact in your community, we are to pray. Pray for laborers, because that's an issue in many churches, is that the laborers are few. Even though Jesus says the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And so even in prayer, you have time to confess your sins. You have time to put on your whole armor of God. Because if you're fighting a spiritual battle, if you're in a spiritual war, and evangelism is spiritual warfare, then you must put on your whole armor of God. And how do you do that? You do that in prayer. You do that in prayer. That helmet of salvation, shield of faith, breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the gospel, peace, those things are put on in prayer. One of the things, too, that I wanted to cover before we end is that one of the, other than the confession and the prayer, is reading the Word. One of the ways that you will be best equipped is to be able to reflect on the Word of God when sharing the gospel, because the power is in the Word of God. The Word of God is what convicts men of sin and righteousness and judgment. And the Bible tells us that even the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. And so what it does, it judges the intentions of the heart. It exposes, separates soul and spirit and joint and marrow. And so what that means is that it cuts deep into the heart of an individual and exposes their heart so that they can come and be convicted and be saved. So one of the things that it's good to do is just to read the Word, because you're able to refer to it, and that is what I encourage you to use. Have a pocket Bible. Have a Bible, a Street Witnessing Bible that you're familiar with. I have a Bible that I use regularly at home, but I also have a Bible that fits into my back pocket that I use regularly in the street. And I usually take both of them. And you see a Roman soldier that he carried the extended sword, but he also had a small dagger that he used for one-on-one. So we know that, you can never, and I usually carry the Bible that I frequent the most at home, because just in case I get into a conversation and I need to find something real quick, I can usually refer to it. So I usually have that in the backpack somewhere. So another thing you want to do as you prepare is to memorize the Word of God. And it doesn't look like we'll be able to get through all of this today. I'll try. But to memorize the Word of God, because the book of Proverbs tells us that how a person thinks is the way he or she will act or live. So a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. So as you share the gospel, really, for the most part, it's just an overflow of what's going on in your heart. So not only putting the Word of God, because Paul, in Ephesians prayed for boldness, that he might speak the Word of God. So one of the things the Holy Spirit will do, he will bring all things to your remembrance. So these are some of the things that you do, and we'll cover more tomorrow because it looks like we're having time, and I hope that more of you will join me. This is the Great Commission. This is what Jesus commanded of us, and that is to go into the world and preach the gospel. So I encourage you to get equipped and get prepared, and we'll cover that tomorrow. We'll talk more about the training that's necessary and also some of the other things that you must do to prepare for an evangelism outreach. So may God bless you, may he keep you, and may his face shine upon you, confidence towards you that you might be blessed.
never heard of Jesus.